Well, praise God. Today's title, Will He Find Faith? And I walked all the way up here and forgot. See, I'm losing weight by walking a lot of places anymore. Will he find faith? Okay, there we are. Apparently it's not going to work. Oh, There it is. Luke 18:8. Jesus is talking here. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Well, Pastor, I got faith. But do you? The reason Jesus is asking is because we have a slightly distorted idea today of what faith is. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, right? Most of us have lived through that. You just can't name whatever you want, blab it and grab it. You can't claim somebody else's house as yours. That's called covetousness. Can't claim somebody else's wife as yours or husband. That's called adultery. Jesus is saying something actually kind of profound. James 2:19 in New Living Translation says, you say you have faith for you believe that there's one God. How many of you believe there's one God? Let me see the hands. If you don't believe there's more than one, if you believe there's more than one, we need to pray for you right now. There is one God. There's many little gods, but there's only one God. Good for you. Yeah, you get a cookie. For even the demons believe this. And they tremble in terror. See, we got God as this cute little thing that just comes along, bubbly doo doo doo. He is a terrifying force. We say, Lord, show us your glory, Lord, right? You've heard the song, Show Me Your Glory. When Moses asked God, show me your glory, what happened? The glory of God came down and pounded him to the ground. It was so powerful and heavy, we can't hold it. When somebody comes in like that, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of questioning all my decisions in life. You know, just recently, some friends of mine on Facebook, we recently hit the point where we had just got to Paris Island. Every year we always put something on there. And one of them said, yep, right about now, I was questioning every decision I had made up to this point and saying, what did I do? I was like, same thing. I'm thinking, I got 4 years of this. Power of God, the revelation of things can make you question, what have I spent my life doing? Is God going to really find faith? Well, I say it and it happens. That's faith. Yeah, hold on. See, I believe I remember some people. Jesus called them goats in the Bible who said, we cast out demons, we healed the sick, we led people to you. Why are we being cast out? Well, they had demonic faith. That's what I'm calling that, okay? Just so you know. Your base level faith, you believe that there's one God. Yippee. But see, faith isn't just about that. It's not about believing something for word's sake, believing, I believe the best in everything. Well, that's love. So let's go to the Greek. The word is pistis. It means to persuade. And it is from patheo, and in its passive form, patheomai, means to be persuaded or to be won over, to trust and obey. Do you fully trust God with every bit of your body, with everything in your life, to include your children? Have you said, they're yours, Lord, and take in your hands and put them behind your back and quit taking them out of his? If you haven't done that, you don't trust God. Doesn't mean you can't pray for them. I pray for mine regularly. Every time I think of them, which is every day. How much more does God love you? Just like Angela said, think about it. Faith isn't passive belief or wishful thinking. Pistis means that means trust that leans its full weight on someone and the fruitfulness that trust produces in return. That's what pistis means. You have full confidence. In modern terms, faith can mean anything from a vague hope to blind wishful thinking, right? Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Never mind asking God, what is your will? I'm going to go here. It's why the Bible says, don't say next year we'll be here in this city, in this city, in this city. You say, if the Lord is willing, and if the Lord is willing, right? There's the first part we miss in praying for faith. We do not pray his will. Because you know what? We pray our will. I want my will, Lord. We all want our will. Don't act like you don't. I want it my way. This isn't Burger King. You can't have it your way. This is the kingdom of God. And he says it's my way or no way. He's a king. He is not an elected official who got their power from you. That is not what he is. He is a king who dominates, who vanquishes his enemies, to and including death. Do you understand your king now? Even death trembles. The demons that you blame everything on, I use that term like that, but they're there, I get it. They tremble. Remember how many times Jesus would come into a new area and demoniacs, people with demons come up. Why have you come? Did you come to cast us out into damnation? It's not our time yet. Even they knew. But we try to cast demons back to hell. You do not have the power or the authority to cast any demon or devil to hell. That is reserved for one, and that is righteous power, righteous authority. Faith is not just merely speaking things. I want a Big Mac. You may not get it for a month. God, if it's your will, sometime today I'd like a Big Mac. He says, McDonald's is right down the road. Go. Oh, no, but I want you to bring it to me. Okay, now you're just being stupid. I'll call it what it is. But rather, faith is a covenant of loyalty. It's a covenant made between you and a conquering king. In olden times, when a king would come in, you know, the last, I don't know how many hundreds of years now, kings have really, they quit going to battle. I don't know if it started with David, if that's when it all took place. Kings quit being warriors. You know, I think it's stinking hilarious to watch King Charles stand up there with a chest full of ribbons and medals. Dude, this isn't the Battle of Polo, okay? We're talking about, there's a reason. How many of you seen the North Korean generals and stuff out there? Man, they got their medals on both sides. By the way, that's how you can tell a poser in the United States. Look at all the medals. Yeah. And by the way, most of the people that I've heard, I've talked to, that have earned those prestigious medals, wish they didn't have them. But anyhow, he's not really a king. He's a puppet. But we're talking about kings who went into battle, who fought for their people. We're talking about men who talked the talk and walked the walk. They stood their ground. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who went into Sheol and conquered death, hell, and the grave. Said, those keys belong to me. Maybe your house, but I own it. Give me the keys. And he took those keys. And what you need to understand about this covenant of loyalty, when I was listening to a teaching on this earlier, and it started talking about this covenant of loyalty, and I'm like, that's it. That's what we've been missing. We want to try to have faith, but we don't want to have the covenant of loyalty to God. And what a covenant of loyalty is 100% submission. Okay? It's not, you know, a weird marriage where 5 days a week you get to go do your one of the people on your list. How many? You're stupid. That's going to be the word for the day. Stupid. But what? I'm getting over here. Lord, thank you for this clear spot. I want to show you what this word means. It means to be prostrate on the ground, face down in the dirt. It is the lowest point any being can be. Well, go under. That's not the... Quit being stupid. When God spoke to the serpent, what did he say? On your belly you will go for eternity, and you will eat dust. By the way, thank you for the cleaning crews. The carpet smelled good. A man can only be as low as the dirt. And you're face down. Did anybody notice anything about the position? Arms up front, stretched out. Can I grab a sword? Can I grab a weapon? I'm totally submitted, totally surrendered to that king. If that king chooses to kill me right then, he can do it. But I'm telling by my submission, I have not come to kill you, but I am now your humble servant. And I will submit. How many times in your Bible does it say, and they went prostrate? And I'm going to try to keep that word straight. They laid down, they laid face down in the dirt. And they surrendered to one who was mightier. How many of us have truly surrendered that? You truly surrendered every area of your life. And I'm going to tell you something. When you truly surrender, it means you give up some things. Do you think I wanted to be a preacher? No. I had dreams of spending my life doing lots of other things. Could I see myself doing those things and not being a preacher? Absolutely not. I gave up a lot of things. I gave up times when people would say, hey, want to go boating? When? Sunday. No. I can't remember, I think it was maybe Johnny. I said, you know, back in the day when AutoZone opened up down here, before they opened up, I was going to be the manager. I had the job. I said, I'm not working Sundays. Oh. Huh. You see, faith will cost you something. That act cost whoever did it their will. We can't say I have faith in Jesus. Oh Lord, I have, that's just a mere belief. That's all that it is. It's your religion. True religion It's caring for the widows, the orphans. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. You mean it's not going around browbeating people with a Bible? Asking them if they know they're going to hell or telling them they're going to hell? By the way, let's help you out here. Acts 1:8, and you will receive power from on high, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he will give you the power to do what? Be a witness. Okay, anybody ever been to court? Anybody been on a jury? Okay, were they not sworn, when the people that were got up, or were they not sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And they were what? Witnesses. They're supposed to tell the truth. Not manipulated around so they can tell theirs, because that's when the judge will step in, that's when the prosecuting attorney or the other attorney will step in and say, whoa, time out. That's not what we asked. You want people to listen to you and tell to find out about Jesus? Talk to them. Just sit down and talk to them. It's amazing, especially with the more hurting they are, the quicker they open up. And you can say, you know, I find that when I've been there, God. But God. I've known people that when they go to see, they see somebody, hey, you want a drink? Nope. Next thing you know, you got a half hour sermon on the evils of alcohol. Does alcohol make you stupid? Yep. I know I did. Just sorry. I mean, got drunk. I did a lot of stupid, sketchy things. Got some scars to prove them. Oh, wait a minute. Bible didn't tell me I had to sit there and tell them they were going to hell. And say, but you know what? I did a lot of stupid things, but God delivered me. I don't even crave it. Drugs? Same difference. People were searching for something. Relationships, one night stands? But God showed me what true love was. You're looking for love in all the wrong places, honey. See, faith is a powerful thing, but it requires that kind of submission, that kind of covenant of loyalty to the King of Kings. And if you aren't willing to say, God, whatever. When we came back from North Carolina, I've never believed in church. I call it steeple chasing. I've never believed in it. I think it's an evil, vile thing. Because part of you gets torn apart and left there. But when God moved us back, he helped us transition. That wound, it wasn't really a wound, but the part that we just transitioned and we healed. And we said, God, we're here at this church until you come or you close its doors. That church closed its doors. We just recently had some guests about a month ago who are going into New York, which we are, as a body, are helping support because they are starting a church up there. They are working to do that. And the guy got out of the Navy. He walked away from his perfect job. He was going to be working with SEAL teams. And he had the approval. And he said, this is a highly sought after position. It's hard to get in. He said, I passed all the tests. And they accepted me. He said, 4 weeks later, he called and said, I can't do it. I'm getting out of the Navy to start a church. And you know, you'd think military, somebody's going to rip him up. You stupid moron, da da da. I mean, if he'd been Marine Corps, it's exactly what you'd have got. Because like I said, we eat our own. The person said, you know what? That's exactly what you need to do then. It's exactly what you need to do. That's giving up something. Oh, but I've given up this, this, and this, and this. Yeah, but I've gave up all that stuff, and I'm here to tell you, everything God has replaced it with is 1,000 times better. Could have gone on great vacations, zip lining anywhere in the world. You know, I remember when I got a Mustang finally, I was like, ooh, I got a Mustang, woohoo! Yay. It's a car. It's a car. Not a big deal. But this kind of loyalty right here, to submit yourself, as I alluded to earlier when I talked about going to Paris Island, I was like, God, what did I do? This is awful. Anybody that's in boot camp knows that shock, that real shock of that first morning. I don't know, does the Army drive you around, get you lost? And okay, yeah, Paris Island's not big. I have no idea how they got that many turns. We were turning, I had been to alleys. They got us lost. I didn't know that my barracks was right beside the front gate. Might have got shot. So you got to take your chances with the alligators and the sharks. And they are there. But when we're standing there and they're screaming at you, and you get up. Well, you don't get up because for us it was about 2 in the morning. They put us in a room. Don't go to sleep, but put your head down. Every one of us had a puddle of drool on the desk. Then they got up. We kept us going the whole time. We've been up for knocking on 48 hours. They shave our heads, give us the most awful food. And that's when I really started thinking, Lord, what did I do? This is terrible. Well, I had to submit my will. I no longer could talk about myself as a human being. I wasn't. I was a this recruit. I had to speak in the third person. I'd lost my identity as a human. And then I had to start taking orders from people that I thought were quite goofy. It wasn't about what they looked like, what they sounded like, how they acted, some of the things they may have done. It was about my submission and the authority that was bestowed upon them. We walk around thinking, oh, I'd love to have been with the Apostle Paul. No, you wouldn't have. I got a feeling most of you in here would have been a little offended at Paul. Because there's some times I'm like, what? Let's try to, I don't quite follow you there yet, Paul, but I'll get there. Or maybe be there with Jesus on the water with Peter. Peter's known to be a little bit quick on the mouth. Possibly with his fist. He hung around with a zealot who killed Romans. Or you got John. Oh, I'd like to have been there with John. Yeah, the guy got boiled alive. Or got stuck on an island so that he saw in his eyes a terrifying vision, but yet a glorious vision. It took submission, and it was not until for me that I started realizing that it was about submission to an authority greater than me, that I finally started getting it. I knew more than my platoon sergeant. He was an odd duck. Not my last one, because that was my friend, Kerry. But when I got to Lejeune, he was different. Tried to claim her as his wife, which she put him straight. And it was just weird, but it was like, God, I get it. I have to submit to that authority. Because, by the way, if you want authority, you've got to submit to the same authority. And you aren't going to get it until you're fully submitted and you quit trying to take the reins. Because any corporal is trying to take the sergeant's job, he's going to get. In the Marine Corps, he wasn't going to just get slapped. He was going to take you into a broom closet and beat the ever-loving snot out of you. Yes, that crap happens. And in boot camp. When you do not submit, bad things happen. You don't get promoted. I have lots of friends who just could not get promoted. Why? Because they wouldn't submit. And once I got past, I even left boot camp thinking, they can't make me kill anybody. You know that was our number one job. That's the number one job of every person in the military. It's not to run a robot, not to drive a tank, fly a plane. It's to kill. And I said, they can't make me do that. August 2nd, 1990, I had a revelation. They can't make me, but I will for the love of my brothers. For the love of those at home. So I submitted. And when I submitted myself to the authority, God began the wheels of growing me up, promoting me. And in your faith, you have to submit to the conquering king. Well, I'll lay on the floor every morning, Lord. He ain't talking about you laying your body on the floor. Because guess what? It's just symbolic. Romans 8:7. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot be. Where's the pointer at? There it is. Indeed, it cannot. Cannot. That is your scripture. I read that one time in here, and somebody challenged me out there. What do you mean? I mean, it cannot. Your brain housing group will not submit to God without your spirit rising up and bringing it to its knees. And how do you do that? You crucify that beast every day. You crucify it by praying. You crucify it by loving. By the way, if we were to go back into James chapter 2, go up a few verses more, here's what we are supposed to be doing. If a brother or sister you comes to you and they are clothed, they're cold and they're hungry, but you look at them saying, in Jesus' name, be clothed, be full, and go your way. And you didn't do anything to help. What are you? You're a criminal because you're stealing from God. He gave you an opportunity to clothe somebody, to feed somebody, to help somebody. And you said, no. And just, if anybody's wanting to know, we did kind of separate ourselves. I still believe in the faith, but I do not believe in the full message of what's coming out of character in the Word of Faith movement. Because I heard preachers say, oh, we can ask you for money, but don't you dare ask us. You got a $20 million jet. Why are you still asking me for gas in it? You know every year those motors have to be rebuilt. Why am I still doing that? You figure it out. You trust God. Quit asking me for it. Because I need money to keep the lights on. I need money to sow. That is why our missions here, we call it missions, but we help a homeless shelter in Marion. A garage that fixes people's cars who may be not able to afford it. A food pantry for people who need extra food. Shelters that protect and get people who have been sexually abused and have been trafficked. Thank you. Who have been trafficked. They get them away and they minister love to them. We help them. And let me tell you something, everybody. It's not the preacher's job to start these ministries. It's yours. Don't you feel so free now? Because I do. It's your job. My job is to build you up to go do that. While still doing my other job of being a Christian. We watched a show the other day. She's like, you just got to see this house. And it was a pretty impressive house. But this woman starts talking about she's going through there. And you know, and people would have started judging her because this is probably a $20, $30 million home. She said, you know, after my husband died, she said, it was very masculine. She said, I realized, God, I'm working a lot with ministry. And I have a lot of women at my house, and this house does not embrace them. I'm telling you, folks, I mean, they loaded. But she had that whole house remodeled so that the women that would come here would feel welcomed. They'd feel safe. And then they had a woman come, and she cooked the dinner. She was cooking a dinner for them, and she was a two-time widow. First time was 23, next time was 30. Ladies, think about that for a minute. You lose your first husband when you're 23, you lose your second one when you're 30, and you've got two kids. And she was hurting, and there was nobody to help her. Nobody understood. You see, the reason why sometimes we experience things is so we can help people through them. This woman said, you know what? I just started finding God was connecting me with a lot of widows. So I started ministering to widows. Because it takes a widow to understand that pain. You see, the church didn't start that. No organization started that. She goes to church, but it wasn't her pastor's job. It was her calling. It was her ministry. She stepped out in faith. She submitted her life to God. She said, and that's exactly what she said. She said, it hurt during the time, but she said, I'd do it all over again to be able to help. If I were to ask you, if you go through your darkest hour, if you go through your worst pain, would you ever do it again so that you could help one person? If you say no, then it tells me you haven't submitted to God. Because everything I've gone through, I would do it again if I could help but one person. Faith isn't about you getting a shiny car. It isn't about you getting a nice new house or a boat or anything. Those come with obedience. Do you understand that? It's what Jesus taught us. If you are obedient... I've dried myself out. But you have to crucify this thing. You have a body. It is flesh. You are a spirit. And the thing you got to crucify the most is that middle part. The mind, will, and emotions. Why do you lash out at people? Well, there's anger, so that's an emotion. Why are you drinking? Well, I'm lonely. There's another emotion. Why are you hopping from bed to bed? Again, an emotion. Everything goes right back to that middle. If you find yourself eating to fill a void, the only way you're going to conquer that is to submit fully to God. And that is going to take time with you and Him alone. The rest of us can pray for you. The Bible even tells us to work out our own salvation, our own faith with fear and trembling. We think somebody laying hands on us for 2 seconds or 5 minutes or an hour is going to heal it. You're going to feel great. You're going to be walking high. You're on sunshine when you walk out of a service like that, aren't you? But then you get out there and you get up Monday morning. Guess who's waiting for you when you open your eyes? Ding, 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 ding. Hey, Yehu, I didn't go anywhere. You didn't crucify me. You got the warm fuzzies. Now you got to fight. The things I fought at Paris Island to grow up, to become a man, they were facing me every day, and then I had to keep dealing with them, and I had to keep facing them. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's some of those things, they still try to wake me up every morning, and I politely tell them where they can go. That's not me. You have no power in my life. I will not be dominated anymore. Are you going to keep being dominated by things, by people's religious traditions? Well, faith means this. Faith means you submit yourself completely to God. It's not just a bunch of rules and regulations. There's a reason why God gave every rule and regulation in the Bible. But the primary ones I think we all should focus on are those 10 in Exodus chapter 20. Honor God. Have a Sabbath. Give your body a break. But that's not what the case is anymore, is it? 365 days a year. Something's going. I just don't know where the time went. I do. You never sat down and listened to the birds whistling. You never sat down and thanked him. You never submitted your life to him and said, Lord, lead me today in all truth. My Bible says, one, rejoice, for the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. I thank him every day, Lord, you are ordering my steps left, right, left. And when you give the call, I'm taking that step. I'm waiting for the next command, Lord. Whether or not, see, that's where it takes faith. You don't see. My time at NCO school, when they were doing us on, they were judging us on drill. I'd already screwed up. The very first command, I did the wrong one. It was similar. But what screwed it up was me reporting that they were open and ready for inspection. And when that staff sergeant stepped up in front of me, he said, Corporal, look at your card. What command do you have? I said, oh God. It's a big deal. You don't understand. That was a huge deal. He said, carry on. He acted like it never happened. I finished up, did my about face, closed ranks, and took off marching. And if you, has anybody else ever partaken in something like that? I know Dave probably has. Maybe you marching band people. Do I got any marching band people in here? Okay. You know, whatever instrument you're playing, you aren't. You're trying to, okay, God, I got to listen to what's going on. You're trusting that the front row is paying attention to where they're going. But see, here in the military, the front row is listening to the commands of the commander. And you're walking towards the wall. We had our parade deck was in between three buildings. It was a square. And they weren't real far apart. And you're walking up, and you've got to time it just perfectly to give the right command to go left. Because if you take half a second too long, you ran somebody into a wall, and it's failure. And so you got to put your faith in them. And you have to walk into the wall, by the way. That's the part that stinks. You can't just stop. You got to walk into the wall. But a good commander knows. Waiting for that command. It's only been 30 some years. Column left, yeah, who said, thank you, sir. I'm like, it just went, you know. Column left, hurt. Just like that. By the way, did you notice anything else that the commander's having to think about? This is God. He's thinking about what foot. The word left always falls on the left. The word right always falls on the right. God has same patterns. Listen for him. But when God's giving you a command, you instantly do it because guess what? There's a wall. And if this column didn't turn and this one did, you screwed everything up. See, it's not all about you anymore, is it? It's about 80 other people behind you. So when you think it's all about you, understand, ain't nothing about you. Because that squad leader can be replaced in a heartbeat. Faith is about that covenant of loyalty. I had to submit to the authority to understand God's authority. And I'm going to tell you right now, I fully understand it. And people that buck against it, I pray for them because they don't get it. The devil hates you already. Why not get God's authority in your life working for you? The devil wants to destroy everybody. So take the time and ask, don't ask God. Start crucifying that flesh and submitting to him daily. Because you know who told me what to do every day for 4 years? Somebody else. They beat on my door with a cue ball at 4:30 in the morning telling me to get up. And then they told me I could go home. But I could not do anything without somebody telling me. That's submission to authority. And if you aren't listening to that, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be just like my friends. They were being secured all the time because they were disobedient and they were hard-headed. Didn't get promotion, lost money. They were ignorant of authority. Let's stand. When you create that covenant of loyalty with God, it's between you and him. Listen, it ain't between you and anybody else. My wife cannot strengthen my covenant with God one iota. She can pray for me, but only I can create that. I can do that. You know, I've shared with you before, I said, God, I don't want it between me and anybody else, me and you. It takes a while, doesn't it? It takes a while to start to realize he cares about me. It took some time to develop that. Sometimes there were tears, and I don't cry. Because sometimes there were tears of anger at myself, at others. But the reality was, it was between me and him. Because I might submit, but my buddy next to me might not, and the king might take his head. Just that simple. Well, I'm not going to listen to your message. Well, don't. Because guess what I've really realized? I'm not responsible for you. Only what I'm supposed to speak. You can go out and rob a bank if you want. I will tell them I told them not to. Y'all got that right. I just told you not to. Don't do anything stupid. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, once again, we thank you. We thank you that we can have that covenant with you, Lord. A covenant that is so fulfilling, Father. Lord, help us all to submit to your authority. The authority that you've put in our lives, Lord God. For Father, even I can admit that I didn't fully understand it until I submitted to it. And then when I submitted to it, now I can walk in it. When I speak to something, it has to do it because of the authority that's backing my words. Not because I'm cocky. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you've not once let me down. I thank you, Lord, that you've carried me, that you've encouraged me. You've even drugged me through places, kicking and screaming sometimes. But I thank you for the victory that we got through. I thank you, Lord, right now that you're moving in the lives of each and every person that'll take what was shared today and implement into their lives. Lord God, right now, every person listening to this message, Lord, I thank you that their lives are going to start changing. They're going to see victories. Lord, that they're going to see the power flowing in their life once again. I bless your people now today, Lord God, and I thank you for them. I pray you move in their on their behalves in situations that the devil is rising up to cause problems. In Jesus' name, amen.